And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba the Bloom, episode 327. We're done with the roadmaps. We're done with the ADP pockets, Ryan. We're getting ready for our final drafts of the season. So tonight we're talking a little Bloom boards on a Tuesday night. Auction risers and fallers from the listener leagues to the NFBC AAVs. A ton of news. Hopefully a USA comeback and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can follow me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How we doing, my friend?
Mildly entertaining to watch you sweat the WBC here pretty hard as Italy is beating the U.S. 8-5 as we go to the bottom of the ninth. So maybe we'll get some fireworks in the bottom of the ninth, and Bubba will get some reactions out of you. That's really why people watch/listen to the show, is to get reactions out of you. But doing good, man. Baseball's so close we can taste it. We just had a Mason Miller strikeout before we go live, which is pretty much par for the course during the season when we go live. So doing well, man. It's going to be a busy-ass 2 weeks, but I'm here for it.
Yep, it's going to be a busy last couple weeks. Like, I have an OLAC Wednesday night. You have one Friday night. Head off to Vegas next week. And we have the auction on Friday, the listener 12 team on Sunday. It's go time. It's full bore. We were kind of planning things out while we watched Mason Miller, like old time's sake. That's usually our tradition on our evening shows in season, as Mason Miller's on the bumps. So yeah, it's go time. It's busy. We're ramping up, and 2 weeks, but let's see. Yeah. 16 days from now, we'll have opening day. It's real close, real close.
Yep.
All right. I said a bunch of news. Let's get to it. There is a ton of it, and I think Ryan is caught up on most of it. So we'll see how this goes.
Well, at least the first half. Let's see how it goes.
The big one that dropped on Tuesday, Hunter Green, who we knew was getting extra imaging done on his elbow, will have surgery on his elbow to remove some loose bodies and some bone spurs, apparently. He'll be out till July. He pitched with some elbow pain last year. Dr. Reattach said to have a shot in his elbow last October to fix things. That did not fix things. So here we are having surgery now. Pretty much a similar surgery that Rodon had, and Rodon should be ready in April, which says a lot to really spark some Reds fans right now. But Hunter Green, out till July, Ryan.
Right. And July, I mean, typically that's best case, right? The initial timeline is usually best case, especially for pitchers. Just so much risk with ramping up and all that. Hunter Green did not get drafted in Tuesday evening's main event. I think that is the proper move. Maybe a team wants to draft him in the last round and drop him, pick him up early or something in the summer. But yeah, tough. Obviously tough for anyone who took Hunter Green. We're not gonna dance on the grave here, but it was a pretty big fade for both of us. I think the question, in that we got this a couple times in the Discord, is if we have drafted Hunter Green in a fab league, is he a drop? And I think yes. I mean, maybe you can hold on to him if you have no injured guys right now, but in 2 weeks you will have injured guys, and it's just gonna be, given kind of all of what I said earlier, It's just too long of a timetable. So I think Hunter Green's a drop pretty much across the board.
He's likely a drop. If, yeah, it depends on your IL situation, like how many spots you have. Like, you know, Tout and Labor, you have unlimited. So yes, you keep Hunter Green. Sure. Some leagues have 1, 3, 5. I played in a bunch of different leagues. So if you have a handful of IL spots, I would hold them as long as humanly possible. But most leagues nowadays, it feels like 1 or 2 is your max. And as Ryan said, there'll be plenty of injuries before that's said and done. And PCA just hit his second dong of the night. It is now 8-6. we're just trying to shrink the run differential right now, folks.
Bubba's going through all these scenarios with me about run differential and all those tiebreakers and stuff.
I went full the hangover at the blackjack table. So don't, all the numbers going through my head. So don't you worry about that. The PCA, a guy that I've talked so much trash on, has driven in the last four of the last five runs for the Giants. So there we go. You are an American hero. Yeah. All right. This one stings. It occurred in the WBC game for Team Italy. Kyle Teal, after hitting a home run off of Nolan McLean, hit a double off of Ryan Yarbrough and basically pulled his hamstring rounding first base, limped in the second. Look on his face, knew it. We do not know the severity of the injury, but just wanted to bring that up because Edgar Cara becomes much more appealing in fantasy. Very, very appealing in fantasy as a catcher too. Also depends on how long this injury is. If it's a minor hamstring, it's 2 to 4 weeks. If it's, you know, it could go as much as 4 to 8 to 8 to 12. It all depends on the grade of the hamstring, which we'll have to wait for. But just keep that in mind. Edgar Cara becomes much more appealing here.
Becomes much more appealing. I probably a decent batting average, or definitely a decent batting average option for catcher too. Good K rate last year, 17% strikeout rate for Cara, 8% swing strike. So not a lot of whiff, not a lot of power there either. But again, if you're looking for second catchers, assuming Kyle Teal is actually out for some amount of time, this could be a good one. If you wait, or do you want to pick up someone in the first fab run, Edgar Cara, I think, can get you decent batting average. I don't know about how much else, but he becomes a relevant second catcher for a while Teal is out.
Yeah, I have a lot of Kyle Teal, so that's going to be some. The length of this injury will determine what takes your place happiness on fab run number one. Let's put it that way.
Your happiness in life, but
that too. But carrying three catchers is usually not an ideal situation to be in whatsoever. I will say Edgar Cara, like when he got called up last year, I basically compare him to a cheaper Alejandro Kirk, Gabriel Moreno type. Good batting average, power can be in question. Like that's your target. So if you like those profiles, you should love Edgar Cara. Corbin Carroll, good news, folks. He will DH on Wednesday. Back in the lineup, facing hitters, doing his thing, or pitchers doing his thing. Handmade injury, be damned. Unless there's some crazy setback, Corbin Carroll will be ready for opening day. So if you bought the dip, which we kind of, I always said Carroll and Lindor, I was cool with buying the dip. Wasn't as worried. And Carroll looks like he's on track.
And back in the first round, looking at Tuesday evening's main event, went 12th overall. So I support that. I think it sounds like, and who knows with the hamate, maybe there is some sapping of the power, but could just as equally be likely that there is none. And this is the dip that you could have bought on Corbin Carroll. So back in the first round, I think as he should be.
Yep. He definitely should be. And really looking forward to see what that OLAC price looks like on Wednesday evening, because I was kind of looking forward to a cheaper Corbin Carroll, but that probably has flown.
Going to go what? 35, 38.
I won't go that high just cause you know how I draft, but he was going like 33, 34 lately. And that at least becomes a little more appetizing if you are believing in the dip of Corbin Carroll.
Yeah.
Jeremy Pena, fractured fingertip fielding a ground ball before WBC play started. He's going to be shut down for 2 weeks and reevaluated by the Astros. The expectation is he'll miss the first couple weeks of the season, maybe longer if the recovery doesn't come out to play. Like I said, they're reevaluating him in 2 weeks, which would be maybe next weekend or early the following weeks, like the last week before the season starts. We'll find out Jeremy Pena's fate, essentially. They have no reason to rush it, because if he misses like 2 to 3 weeks, like what's the big deal? Get him healthy. Correa moves to short. Paredes likely goes to third. There's moving parts. I actually wrote about other moving parts with this move for AL West PT tomorrow on Wednesday. But okay, what's your take on this Jeremy Pena situation?
You covered it, man. I think the big winner here is Isak Paredes, who now has temporarily a job, given that the Astros did not trade him. And Jeremy Pena obviously is one you are holding, right? It's not going to be an extended absence, it sounds like. So just wait it out. Yeah, it kind of sucks, but also, you know, silver lining is it happened and you get, you know, a two, three week head start on the recovery. So all good in that hood.
Yep, all good in that hood. Look at you. Look at you.
I don't know, man. Hey, there's games going up, on. Kids? We're trying to what's podcast. Up, we're not used to this. To actually things going on while we're podcasting.
This is our spring training.
This is our WBC.
Yep.
Bobby Witt just got a hit. He's on first base. Tying runs up.
You got Judge on deck, maybe with the chance to win it. Real quick though, with the Isak Paredes point, this is the conundrum I am under, because if Pena comes back in like 2 weeks, then right. Paredes is out of it. So my question is for the listeners, how aggressive would you be? I'm not saying you have to like move him up four rounds, but how interested would you be in drafting him right now?
Yeah, because that's the thing. He might only have a job for 1 to 2 weeks, and then he doesn't, and then he's in the utility guy again. So maybe you push him a round or two, but shouldn't say round. Isak Paredes is going in main event drafts as early as 199. These are 15 teamers as late as 284. So that's I'm not even going to try and do math for 15s. That's like in the teens of rounds. So I wouldn't, you know, maybe a round or so if you want to get Isak.
Yeah, that's rounds 13 through 19, essentially. For
there you go. Math kind of checked out there. That's good. Yep. At least I didn't say like 23rd or something.
That's something I would do. All right. Josh Hader threw his first bullpen on Tuesday, 15 pitches. He said things went well. Of course, he's going to say things went well. Supposed to throw another bullpen later this week. I'm still not like excited about what we saw. Watching him pitch, it was a very slow delivery, even though he said the velocity.
It was a very slow delivery, yeah, yes. We are not pitching coaches, but my man wasn't going all out.
No, there was no like grunting and going for like this is a big pitch situation, which you wouldn't want in the first one. I'm just saying.
Agreed.
I feel like we're still a ways away here.
Agreed. It doesn't change it for me either. I'm still, for me, it's just it's in a void, and it probably will be for draft season. And as we always say, if we miss out on Hader, so be it. I'm just going to grab a different closer that I like, and I think there's other options there. So you just made a grimace ahead of me, and I know why. So I'm still staying away from this, even though look good, feel good, whatever. Hader's still obviously not going all out, and he doesn't need that much time to ramp up. I mean, we're just relievers in general. But until he can recover and go full speed, we're just not going to know that until probably after opening day. So I'm just not going to draft him.
Yep, he's still off my board. Not really all in on the Abreu situation because he's been getting pushed up in draft. So like the discount's not really there anymore, which makes it tricky. Unless you believe Hader's just like done, then the Abreu thing makes a ton of sense at the same time.
Yep.
Bryce Miller threw a 25-pitch bullpen. He said at 80%, it was his first bullpen action since getting a PRP injection for an oblique injury that he suffered that shut him down for 7 to 10 days. He'll have another bullpen coming up later this week, hopes of jumping back on the mound next week. I made the joke, maybe off-color joke, in the Discord when they said Hunter Green was having the surgery to remove the loose body parts in his elbow. I said, "Whoa, it's the same surgery that Bryce Miller will have in a few months."
I caught that. That wasn't off color. That was fine.
It's probably pretty accurate, sadly enough.
Like, yeah. I mean, it's actually like a legitimate take.
But what's your thoughts on this? Like, he's ramping back up, but I'm still like, dude, like the fact they didn't do anything with his elbow. Like, you hate Cole Reagans because, well, you don't hate him. You dislike drafting Cole Reagans because they didn't have surgery. Bryce Miller can't be much higher on that list of things to do.
Yeah, but I mean, Cole Reagans is also a third round pick now, and Bryce Miller is a whatever 15th round pick. So, I don't know. I think the price is okay to if you want to take a shot. The upside's there at the price, but I also don't see this ending well with Miller. Like, I don't know. The bone spur thing scared me, and then side issues and PRPs like. And still not like that is someone unlike Hader. I just don't see how Bryce Miller is going to be ready for opening day, just in terms of the ramp up and taking that first turn in the rotation. So you're already going to start with an injured guy. I'm pretty much staying away from Bryce Miller. I mean, still going early enough in drafts where there's other late pitchers that we both, I know certainly you like better, but I also do too.
Yep. Not on my list of things to draft. Logan Henderson, definitely off my things to draft board. I took like a late shot on it, my OC, I think it was, just because it was an OC. Haven't done it in a 15 for obvious reasons. Now he's really done for me. He's experiencing mild elbow soreness. Any elbow soreness would concern me. Mild elbow soreness, but this is the same guy that had elbow inflammation at the end of last season, Ryan. So they're going to slow play him right now. They actually haven't said anything about timetables, none of that stuff at the moment, but I am out on Logan Henderson.
I am now as well. I kind of was earlier, but like you said, in a 12-teamer, late in a 12-teamer where you're going to churn those spots anyway, it makes sense to take a shot on someone like Logan Henderson. But now with that,
especially in mid-February.
Exactly. And now it's just like, I don't think so. So I don't know, man. I guess we talked about this last show, but we brought Kyle Harrison back to life. There could be, because Quinn Priester, the priest's wrist is not holy.
The priest is basically a kid's song right now. It's head, shoulders, knees, and toes with him at the moment. Getting MRIs on his shoulder shoulder, his elbow, his wrist.
Yeah.
Priester's
operation.
That's a lot of holy water right about now to fix that man. So, yeah, Kyle Harrison, we got options.
It could be Sproat. It could be Harrison. It could be both, at least starting the season for the Brewers. So we will see. There are other options there too, but those are our favorites, I think.
Yeah, I was about to say the other one that really stands out that I know people have asked us about is Robert Gasser. That's another guy people really, really like. I feel like he's third on the list just because the way they're kind of slow playing him in the past, but they have options. It is weird, though, with the Priester thing. We heard about the MRIs on his shoulder, elbows, and then there's been, like, no reports since then. That was three or four days ago, it feels like.
He's going to see a wrist specialist now, I think. So.
Yeah, well, poof. Not good if you need a wrist specialist. Ivan Herrera, we're hoping for that catcher eligibility. He's been he was scratched on Sunday with knee inflammation. Been searching high and low. No reports there. He's supposed to DH on Wednesday. That's fine. But the fact that he has a knee issue and we need him to catch, that's what, because maybe he'll still catch. We need 10 games in season, Ryan, but this might just prolong when those 10 games happen.
Has Ivan Herrera been catching at all in the spring?
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. They've been trying to get him out there. He's caught a handful of games, yes. So they're attempting to get him out there. He caught a handful of games, now he's got knee inflammation. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Does not bode well for Ivan Herrera getting early catcher eligibility for sure.
So just keep that
in mind. To the point where I think I downgrade him, I mean, not quite a bit, but like, I know we're doing our Vegas auctions. It's hard to take Herrera there anyway, because then you have to have three catchers in your starting lineup all for money. But yeah, it definitely hurts. The longer Ivan Herrera is not catcher eligible, the more it stings.
Yep. It stings quite a bit. He went in round 20 of the main event on Tuesday evening. Like, I guess in a snake, you can pull it off a lot easier than the auction, as you were saying. But what once felt like a probably end of April situation is feeling more like I'm being pessimistic here, is like a June-ish situation, maybe worse. And I've said it all along, I'm not alone in this. I know that. But Ivan Herrera, if he is a catcher, is like a top five fantasy catcher. He's a stud, absolute stud. It's just when, if, how does that come to fruition? Spencer Torkelson left a simulated game on Tuesday after getting hit by a pitch in his arm. No news has reported from that, but keep that in mind because, you know, we've seen this. Remember, we see this a lot in the regular season, Ryan. A guy gets hit in the arm, and then like 3 days later, he's got a fracture once the swelling goes down. So not saying that's what happened to Tork. It could be purely precautionary here, but just something to keep in mind if you are drafting in the next, you know, 24, 48, 72 hours.
Keep an eye on it. Don't be like me and show up to this podcast with no idea this even happened. So.
The Nationals, Miles Mikolas is no longer the ace of the Nationals staff. So they got that going for him.
Yeah,
No, he's not. Let's put some names here. Zach Lytle signs a 1-year deal with the Washington Nationals. He'll be the ace. Kate Cavalli got announced as the opening day starter.
That's where I was going with my
intrusion there. We're looking at veterans that've done it, so on and so forth. Cavalli should be the ace. Yes, I see what you're saying there, but Lytle pushes Mikolas down another peg on this one. And I've always liked Zach Lytle, at least in 15s or at least in TCs, because he eats a ton of innings up. Ratios are usually pretty decent. Things you look for in a 15, not in a 12, he's streamer at best. But what's your thoughts on Zach Lytle?
Yeah, he's fine. I even think in 15s, probably a streamer. You just don't get many Ks. And like, so that already you have a three category guy. And the whip's been pretty decent for Zach Lytle over the years. And even the last 2 years, ERA 363, 381, kind of one of those guys who outpitches his skills and has done that for at least the last three seasons in a row. So you do have that, but I don't know. Yeah. He becomes a relevant like back end streamer in 15s. I don't think Zach Lytle is anything more than that.
Yep. Totally agree with you there. A couple other minor ones here. Josh Young has been sidelined with an oblique or an adductor injury. He's started running bases. He's been taking batting practice. He's expected back in the Rangers lineup on Thursday. So that is good for those that believe in Josh Young. Again, in deep leagues, I've said it all along, he's not the worst if you punt third base or you need a late corner infielder. If he's healthy, he's very serviceable. It's the if healthy part with Josh Young.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And then for all you Kyle Stowers, Dave Petrosiello, looking at you, fans out there, Kyle Stowers is set to return Saturday after missing a little over a week with a hamstring injury. He's been running bases, doing the same hitting drills. So he should be back on Saturday. They took it very slow, which you'd want a team to do in March. So barring a setback, Kyle Stowers will be ready for opening day.
Yep. Looks like all systems go there, assuming Kyle Stowers looks good. A couple Yvonne Herrera takes in the chat this evening. We've got Mr. Gialdi. Hope all is well, man. I'm now thinking July until Yvonne Herrera gets 10 catcher games. We've got Adam. Hot take is that Herrera will have dual eligibility, but not quickly. However, it's outfield and first base once Burleson is dealt. So that's a take. We're here for the takes.
He'd be a Wilson Contreras type, and if you get around 20 with that kind of eligibility, it's sweet. Yep. You just got to hold him for that long is the deal. But yeah, I still think
he's good enough to play. Like if you drafted him, you still play him at utility, right? I don't think you're benching it. I guess you're probably playing him at utility.
In a 15, probably in a 15. Like I'd take him over Marcelo Zuna in a 15 at util, and I've been drafting Marcelo Zuna late.
Sure. That's a good way to think about it, actually. And actually, tonight they both went in the 20th round together, Ozuna and Herrera. I'd probably start Herrera over Ozuna as well.
Yeah, so, no, I totally get it. It just comes down to playing time and the boost he does give you if he gains that catcher, of course. Yeah. And now with Edgar Caro available late in the draft, there's your catcher too. We wait is what I'll say. All right, we'll wrap it up with the news on that one. We'll call it good as I'm watching Live Hong Kong.
No, just seriously, I'm having flashbacks. Isn't this exact same show last week?
Yep, we're doing it all over again. Okay. Rom wins, folks. Sorry to ruin that for you.
And a drone crashes into a tree. Did you see that?
Yep, sorry for the spoiler alert on this one. This is just round two highlights. All right, let's get to it. Listener League AAV versus NFBC AAV. It's not as drastic as it was last season. But what are we looking at here tonight, Ryan?
Yeah, not to sell it short or anything, but we were hoping for some more interesting deltas between the two, like there were last year. But I removed the obvious injury guys from the equation here. So what this is we've got back in Bloom Boards. We're prepping for Tuesday in-season shows here. We've got the highest risers and fallers from our 10 listener league drafts, which all took place in the second half of February across 14 days. Versus NFBC all other NFBC auctions in March. So it's kind of twofold, like some of the takeaways here. It's one, like we want to do, like, we love the listener leagues. We had a great time, and thank you to everyone who participated, streamed, etc. We'd like to do some follow-up on that, kind of see if there's like any kind of bias that creeps in for the things we say or don't say that creeps into the listener league prices. But then also it also kind of serves as like a recent just time risers, right? Because the listener leagues were done second half of February and we're comparing that to March. So there's kind of two kind of things at play here.
Yep. Yeah. There's a lot of moving parts with what's taking place here. So we got the risers, basically the players that went higher in the listener leagues. And then we got the followers, the ones that went less in the listener leagues. As Ryan mentioned, it's the 10 listener leagues that went in mid-February versus the NFBC auctions in March, which I'm 99% sure are just OLACs. So we got that going so far at this point in time. So let's just kick it off. We'll kind of run through some of these. And it also is a great way to signify listeners listen to us, because there's certain players, not all, I'll be very clear, but some that we like a lot more and some we do not. And you can kind of see trends on both sides of the board on that one. But Junior Caminero went for $32 average in the Bubba and the Bloom listener leagues compared to 30 in the NFBC. And Caminero has been a popular name blown across podcasts and other places of late, as people either all in or all out on Caminero, Ryan. It's just, I know that the tricky question many will have is, you know, he doesn't run a ton going back to the trop. How does this all play out? But what are your thoughts when you look at a Junior Caminero at this price point? I don't think you've taken any. Like, he's going pick 17 over four main events right now, which is a lot less, I think, than $32.
Yeah. I have not taken any Cameron Ayer. I know that's your guy, and maybe that is reflected in some of these prices. So like, I don't know. I see him and I'm looking at the listener league average auction values right now, and like, he's right next to Vlad, right? And I know they're different positions, but like, I feel like similar type of player. Vlad with the volume, better batting average. Cameron Ayer, more power upside. But like, to the surprise of no one, I'm going to take Vlad over Cameron Ayer just because I like the perceived safety of someone who's done it for so long. But certainly get the price. I actually think a $30 Cameron Ayer in non-listener leagues is somewhat decent. Like, that's almost like an early second round, mid second round price. And he is one of those guys, Cameron Ayer, those kind of non-speed, non-pitchers, as pitchers rise in these big money drafts or whatever, these main event drafts, that's the guy who's getting pushed down. I think Cameron Ayer in tonight's main event went the eighth pick of the second round. So he's dropping quite a bit, because as pitchers rise, something must drop.
Yeah, he's gone between 16 and 22 in the four drafts. Like I mentioned, ADP of 18.25. And if you look at the auction to ADP calculator that Ariel Cohen has shared, that's about a $32 to $33 player. So you got that going for you. If you believe in all of that, like you said, it's about a fair price, and $30 would definitely fit that mold. All right, let's get to one where a player I like a lot, which I have very few shares of because everyone else seems to like him more than me, or they know I'm in the draft, is Bubba Chandler. Went for $12 in listener leagues, as low as $10, and or $12 in listener league, $10 in the NFBC. Ryan, Bubba Chandler's struggling, is the nice way I'll put it, this spring. I still think he's a very good pitcher, but this is a tough one right here.
Yeah, I think this is more of like the March drafts being a little bit skittish about Chandler because of at least his first couple of shaky outings, the famed sleep mechanics outing that were like truly so bad that it's like, ugh, is something actually wrong with Bubba Chandler? Because yes, it's spring training, but like, I still want to see pitchers throw strikes, and Bubba Chandler was not doing that. I believe his most recent outing was quite a bit better, so maybe assuaging those concerns. But I think that's what we're seeing here, is just a little bit of trepidation off of a couple admittedly horrendous spring training starts.
A lot of big words right there for 9:30 at night on a Tuesday, Ryan. Goodness gracious. Thank you. USA just lost. We're in mourning right now. Yeah, no, it's I'm surprised. I figured he'd be cheaper by now. And I told the Discord and you and some others that I updated my sheet for Wednesday's OLAC and saw a lot of pitchers' prices drop a buck or two, some go up a buck or two. Like, the pitchers I'm looking at in the anywhere from like $5 to $8 range. This seems so much more appealing at that price than Bubba Chandler at $10 right now. So it's a ceiling play for sure, but something that I'm curious to where it continues to go as we see some more drafts and bigger drafts begin to go. Because in the main events right now, is ADP is 165. Okay. All righty, Christian Walker. We've kind of talked about our love for Walker. I don't have a whole lot there more there unless you have anything to add.
Only thing I'd add on Walker, he's just, his price and where he's going in drafts is such an interesting spot at first base, where like after Christian Walker, it kind of falls off. So in an auction, I think a lot of people are going to be like, oh crap, I need to get this last corner or even late first baseman. Because after that, it's the aforementioned Torque at $8, Jonathan Aranda $6, Manzardo $5, Berger $5. Then you're down in $3 territories compared to Christian Walker at $9. So it's kind of one of those, there can be auction dynamics at play here where it's like, oh, this is the last guy before this cliff. I want to get in. So that can lead to a lot of variance in auction prices, depending on when he's thrown out.
That's a very good point. And random question for you. I know a lot of people, or not a lot of people, some people like to look at, like, you know, compare ADP versus prices, and some guys are going much higher than their price and vice versa. How much do you pay attention to that? Because, like, if you believe Christian Walker at his ADP, his $7 NFBC value is more like a $4 player. But to your point, people are stressing because first base changes, so you pay up for him. How much do you pay attention to that game, I guess?
Interesting. I actually never have paid attention to that. Maybe I should. I don't know. But I haven't looked at it.
I haven't done it a ton. I try to kind of, if I have time, to look at different things, but I was more curious on if you have any thoughts on that, but no worries whatsoever. I kind of made the joke earlier that a lot of the risers are Bubba and the Bloom people and followers are not, so on and so forth. This one is not one of our guys. Blake Snell went for $11 on average in Bubba and the Bloom leagues, $9 in the NFBC auctions in March right now, which is still too high for my flavor. But Snell's starting the season on the IL for those that have been living under a rock. Blake Snell's ADP is 161, pretty close to Bubba Chandler, honestly. So, and he's going cheaper than Bubba Chandler. So what are your thoughts on this Blake Snell price tag? Because I think people are still paying for it, saying if I get like five and a half months, it's pretty cool, which I think we still would not guarantee.
Agreed. And I think that's the cause of the price drop here, right? I think it's just we know he's starting on the IL. Things haven't really gotten, like, the news hasn't gotten too much better with Blake Snell. And so the longer that lingers, the lower he's going to go. I still think $9 in a non-IL league is too much. I streamed the labor mixed auction on Saturday night as part of First Pitch Online with the good Lord, Lord Zola and Ray Murphy. And Blake Snell went for $7 in that one. And that's an IL league. And all three of us were like, okay. And in that aspect, we could do it. But $9 for Snell and you're stashing an injured pitcher. it's just not something I'm going to do.
Yeah, not on my list of things to do as well. So fully with you there. Let's talk about the bus driver. Obviously was going to go high.
Yeah, in this league.
didn't get like the Rengifo bump from years past, but still got a pretty good one up to $8. That's Otto Lopez. For those that are not aware of who the bus driver is, Otto Lopez is going on average for $6 in March NFBC auctions right now. I still love the price. His ADP has him as a $4 player, but you're getting late. He's a middle infielder or a second base punt. Like I'm good with $6, $8. If I was desperate, but $8 is tougher to stomach for sure.
Yeah. No complaints about this one, and not a shock at all to see the driver of the bus get bumped up a couple spots.
Speaking of the WBC and the driver of the bus, I got a text message from one Roger Bloomfield the other day, telling me to check out the relay from Owen Cassie to Otto Lopez to get a player at home for Team Canada. It was pretty elite. It was all over WBC and MLB's feeds. Otto Lopez threw an absolute P to the catcher on the dot. It was beautiful. So he's not just a fantasy 15-15 asset. He also plays great defense. Dalen Lyle, $9 on average. We've talked Dalen Lyle a lot on this show, but I've talked him too much, apparently. $9, so, yeah, listener. Yeah.
This is your guy.
Yeah, and I don't have that many shares because of that. $7 in the NFBC over the month of March. His ADP is 205, Ryan. So $7 actually seems reasonable if you believe he has some pop.
If you believe he has some pop, and if you believe, like, I don't know, it's a little bit of a... Yeah, like there are questions here. The other $9 outfielders, the law dog Ian Happ and the artist formerly known as Jurickson Profar. So I feel like I'd probably take Happ over Lyle, maybe the law dog, but maybe not with the knees. So I don't know. I think Dalen Lyle's, he's kind of fully priced in there. Also, there is one of the leagues where Dalen Lyle went for like $20. So that's an issue that's driving up the average.
That's true. That's a bit of a problem. Like Lyle to me is like the ceiling play over Ian Happ. And Happ's the much safer play. And Happ's probably the guy I would go with as well in a 15 team league, just because we know who Ian Happ is and what you should expect from Ian Happ. I've been taking Dylan Cruz over Dalen Lyle, to be totally honest. I've been going that direction in snake drafts right now. Yeah. So we'll see how that keeps playing out.
No doubt.
Riley O'Brien, $5 in the Bubba and the Bloom leagues, $3 in the NFBC. He's technically, potentially, possibly the closer in St. Louis. There's still a lot of moving and shaking. In mid-February, it felt a lot more like he was the closer in St. Louis. That has changed a lot in March, Ryan.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think I saw a blurb today on one of the Roto W's, Roto Wire, Roto World. That it was today. Jojo Romero, really, there's Marmol is not committing to a closer. And I think we the market probably just assumed it was going to be Riley O'Brien. And Riley O'Brien, A, you know, skills are questionable, and B, so is the number of wins and save opportunities that the Cardinals will generate. So you've got that going against him. It's why he's only $3 in March auctions. But now you've kind of got the, you know, the JoJo Romero competition. We actually don't know if Riley O'Brien's the closer. So I think five now, in hindsight, right, five for the in the listener leagues is too rich for Riley O'Brien.
Yeah, it's getting tough. Like, I'm cool with like dollars to $2 with Riley O'Brien. I was going all over Twitter today because Derek Gould is a beat writer for the Cardinals. He wrote an article. It stinks. All these guys that write for newspapers, you have to pay to read most of their stuff now, which is a real pain in the butt. It's hard to pay for all of them, but he talks about in his articles about a potential closer committee. So our buddy Matt Thompson, of course, tells us what goes on. He tweeted about it. He says, Derek lays it out here. I still think it'll be O'Brien, mostly with Romero getting showcased in high leverage and working the late matchups. But there's also Svanson, who gets a big lefty role involved in this one. So we can't forget about him either, which is something to keep in mind. And I know that I saw Ryan Roof got involved in the conversation and basically said, it all comes down to can O'Brien limit the walks and maybe up the Ks a bit? Because he'll get all the chances in the world until he can't get guys out, essentially, which is, sounds like common sense. But what they're trying to say is he should get the primary role. It's just, does he have the stuff to keep the job is the concern right there.
Certainly not a long leash, if there is one.
No, not at all. And it stunk because when I had Matt Thompson doing the Cardinals preview like a month ago now, there was tons of rumors that JoJo was going to get traded. And that's another reason why I bought in more on Riley O'Brien, going, oh, sweet, let's get in on this now. Because if JoJo gets traded, then that $3 goes up to like $7 probably or higher in an auction, just because I feel like it locks him in a lot more. So
Cardinals kind of stopped their trading spree, right? They kind of went nuts early on and then not so much lately.
Yeah, they see all these, like Josh Baez is another starting to tear up the baseball. They might then make some, like Burleson and company might have to get out of Dodge pretty soon. All right, a few more here on the rising side of things. Our boy Sonny Gray, of course, $14 in the listener leagues because we are Team Sonny Gray around here, $12 in an FBC. I'm honestly fine with both prices. I
was going to say, I still think 14 is too low for Sonny Gray, but I do realize our love for Sonny Gray is probably a bit too much, but whatever.
Yep. Yandy Diaz for 13 in the listener leagues, 11 for the NFBC. People appreciating that batting average boost is what it looks like, and a bad first base position. I do have a Yandy share, I believe, in the auction, actually. But it's not my normal cup of tea, that's for sure.
Yeah. I think it's a reasonable buy. I think Yandy Diaz, despite the concerns about the park, I just think you're getting such a good batting average. You're getting enough power to make it work, and you're getting that at a price slash point in the draft where there are not many good batting average home run combinations left, if at all. So Yandy Diaz, just kind of where he's at in certain pockets of the player pool, is a really nice spot to grab him.
Yep, definitely. A couple more here. Josh Lowe, $4, Bubba and Bloom, $2 in FPC. Obviously, he's been sidelined with an oblique injury. He's actually expected back in the lineup on Friday.
He's on the mend, right?
Yeah, he's coming out on tonight's drop after the show, the news drop that I posted. I'll tell you what I typed. I got it right here.
Well, your first news drop, you just typed nothing under his name. So.
Yeah. Yeah, totally airmailed that one. This one, Josh Lowe is expected to start taking swings in minor league games this weekend. So they're having him on the backfield, which gets some extra at-bats, essentially. The Angels are expecting Lowe to be ready to start the season, barring any setbacks. So minor league games this weekend. If all goes well, he'll be back in the lineup next week. Is the goal.
Yeah, until the next one.
Oh, yeah.
Until the next one. It's like an earthquake, you know? Like, you know it's coming. You just don't know when and what magnitude.
Especially when I live about 15 miles off a fault line. So yes, I'm well aware.
Probably shouldn't make that comp.
I'm far enough away to knock on wood be fine. But we get a lot of little tremors. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Another bit of news for people out there. I didn't put it on our list because it wasn't game changing, but Francisco Lindor is expected to play in minor league games. I believe Wednesday or Thursday. So he played in one on Tuesday also. Four innings, defense only. Supposed to start taking swings here in the next couple days. So he's on the mend as well. All right, back to your regularly scheduled programming. Luis Castillo, $10 in Bubba the Bloom, $8 in NFBC. I blame Ryan for that.
Just sharp, sharp listenership we have here at Bubba.
He's been bad this spring. He's been bad.
You think Luis Castillo cares how he looks this spring, dude?
I do.
He could sleep through spring training. I mean, he's the Grinky now. He doesn't care.
Well, yeah, he should. And then Emi, $9, Listener League, $7 in NFBC. Emi is just a guy I don't know what to do with.
I mean, I just have no idea who he is, honestly.
And, well, he's a pitcher for the Astros.
Well, I do know that. But he wasn't on the WBC roster, well, Bubba.
He's on like the the satellite team or
taxi
like
squad.
That. Yeah, whatever that is. Let's just say when he pitches next round, there will be notifications.
I don't know. I've never even thought about drafting Emi. Only time I thought about drafting Emi was our meatball draft before I truly knew who he was. And Tom Mulhall was texting me, telling me to draft Emi. And I didn't. And he went in the, I want to say like 30th round in the meatball draft, because we drafted it back in October. And that's the only time I've really ever thought about drafting Emi. I could miss out, but I know nothing about him, really. So
a 30th round Emi sounds pretty good, actually.
That would be nice. That would be very nice, but not whatever this price is.
All right, let's talk fallers. Fallers are technically, I guess, risers, according to the NFBC, lower in the boat. It depends on how you want to look at it. I see red, I say fallers. It's just what blue boards are around these parts. And this is a no-brainer, and honestly, this price is going to become a wider gap. Matt McClain, $6 in the Listener League, which seems like an absolute gift right now. $9 in the NFBC, Ryan. Like, I foresee this going bonkers pretty soon, the way he keeps hitting the snot out of the baseball. In the NFBC, Matt McClain, ADP of 141, as high as 129.
But, like, this is exactly what we say not to do every offseason, right?
Overreact
to spring training. Like, who has Matt McClain homered off of? I don't know. It's not a rhetorical question.
I could check out later. Baseball Reference tells you the quality of his plate appearances.
Right. I don't know, man. All right, here we go. I have no idea if this is correct. This is the AI overview. He has homered off of Jameson Taillon, Cubs pitcher Ryan Rolison, and Dodgers pitcher Cole Irvin. You know, there's that. Yes, Matt McClain's hitting like 600.
He has four home runs. Okay, you're missing. Right.
And then
there.
Yes, another one off of an unnamed Milwaukee Brewers pitcher around February 28th. This is where AI fails us.
Yeah. Now, do we know if on Baseball Reference, his opponent's quality grade, is it graded out of 10? That's what I'm thinking. It's a 7.8, so it's not like garbage.
Is it? I have no idea what 7.8 means.
If it's out of 10, it's not garbage.
Saying, but my point stands. Like, if whatever you thought about Matt McClain heading into spring training should not change because of what he did in spring training. So maybe Matt McClain's worth the $9, the $3 bump since we've done our listener leagues. But I feel like that's bad. Like, maybe that works out, but I feel like that's bad process. I don't think a hitter goes up $3 because of what he's doing in the spring. Just my opinion.
Oh, we'll get to a few more of those as we get chatting here on some hitters going up in price.
But, what's your take on Matt? You've played Switzerland here. What are you doing?
Well, I've always been torn on Matt McClain. I've said it even like early in when we recap second base and stuff that I'm interested in McClain. He had a full year off. Last year was his first year back. Like, does he ever give us the year we saw before he got hurt? Who knows? But is he as bad as last year? I don't think so. So, like, it's a 2020 guy. It just depends on what levels he goes to. The price, I loved the cheaper price. I'm not opposed to it just because second base isn't good. Like, if you start talking about if you believe in the skills of Matt McClain, like, how's this? I take him over Jackson Holliday.
Matt McClain over Jackson Holliday? Sure. Hey, I found who the mysterious Milwaukee's Brewer pitcher was that he homered off of.
That's got to be good. Kyle Harrison. No, I was kidding.
Like, truly, Major League, who the F is this guy? Coleman Crow. It's a pitcher that he homered off of.
Some guy we're going to talk about getting DFA'd in August.
So there you go. Coleman Crowe.
Interesting. Yeah, no, Matt McClain's getting a serious bump, and if we did this show next week, he's probably going for like double digit, like 11 bucks at least. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking he's going to keep taking a mighty rise here. Like, give me one second. This is great radio. I know, but I want to check.
So in main events, he's going being drafted just because I don't have the, like, right after Altuve. I'm taking Altuve.
Yeah, I just want to pull up my Matt McClain. Yes, so it's updated even more now that you have him at $9. I filled out my sheet on Monday. He was $7.
So maybe it could be a draft too, where he just went nuts. But
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's jumping. But yeah, if you're just talking like main event ADPs, he's going 5 picks after Altuve. The next second baseman is Ozzie Albies at 11 picks later.
Yep. I guess McClain has the highest ceiling of that crew, but I don't even know if that's true. Actually, I don't even know if that's true.
Yeah, I think so. Let's talk about another second baseman with a high ceiling. It's actually played pretty well in the NFBC, at least offensively. Defensively, people have other thoughts. Bryce Terang, $18 listener leagues. I think it's partially because we're all like, what about Bryce Terang? What to do with Bryce Terang? He's going for $21 in March drafts. March drafts do like Bryce Terang. I still am torn on Bryce Terang. I probably will not have any shares of Bryce Terang, Ryan. What are your thoughts on this $21 price tag for Bryce Terang?
Yeah, kind of like Ema, I just don't have a feel for Terang, even though I have seen Terang play a bunch. We've talked about Terang. We don't know what we're getting. Are we getting the 50 steal guy? Are we getting the 20 steal guy? Are we getting the 5 homer guy? Are we getting the 16 homer guy? Are we getting the 280 batting average guy or the 220 batting average guy? All the above, none of the above. We just don't know. There's something to be said for the second base scarcity at the top of the pool, right? So that may be why Bryce Terang's getting pushed up a little bit, but someone I haven't taken, and not to say he's a fade. I want to have a little bit more certainty as to which categories I'm going to get when I take some of these higher priced bats.
Totally agree with you there. Griffin Jacks, the obvious bump, $10 in listener leagues, 13 the NFBC. He's the closer with the set out for now.
Yeah, 13 starting to get a little pricey though, because do we know if Jax is the guy? I don't think he is the capital T guy. Sorry, I'm looking at the comments here. The robot took Coleman Crowe in a DC that Dustin was in. So
of course he did.
Shame on me for not knowing who the hell Coleman Crowe is. But
come on, man. But yeah, if you're talking $13, he's going around Kenley Jansen's price. He's more expensive than Ryan Walker, Dennis Santana, or Anthony Dominguez. Those guys all have the job.
Right. Like, I would take Santana, Dominguez over Griffin Jacks right now. Jacks is the better pitcher, but doesn't matter for relievers.
Yep, agreed. Jack Caglione, he $7 listener leagues, $10 in the NFBC in March. <I don't know. laughs> Hit a 2-run bomb off of Team USA on Tuesday. Jack Cag, that's your guy. They're going to price you out, aren't they?
Yeah, Jack up. Yeah, I don't know, man. Price is starting to assume a lot of growth. So I'm kind of glad I have some early Jack Cags. I don't know about $10, but I could still probably pay it. But I don't know. I don't think he's having like a hot spring or anything. He's on WBC, so has had an impartial spring. But I would expect this $10 to keep going up, given how he looks in WBC. I agree or not, but I think that's it. Off of Ryan Yarbrough, as yep. Keegan says.
So, lefty, lefty crime. Lefty, lefty crime.
It's true. It's true.
So stand back. Watch. Mookie Betts, $18 to $20, which 18 makes sense because we don't like Mookie Betts. $20, I still can't pay $20 for Mookie Betts. I can't do it.
Why, dude? It's not a bad. It's not much.
Oh, it's not great.
What's Abrams? Abrams in the because they're attached 21. At the hip.
He's 20. He's down to $20. Actually, I'll take CJ Abrams all day at that one.
I'm with you. Damn it.
And honestly, I'll take Perdomo at 17.
All right, now that's a bridge too far, my friend. No, I could see that. I could see
not that,
that
far. Too, you're talking $3 in an auction. That's not that far.
I know. I get it. I get it.
Jeremy Pena is 17.
for someone old and boring, Betts is kind of not. There is a wide range of outcomes with Mookie Betts.
Yep. Neil Crew has gone from 14 in the listener leagues to 16 in the NFBC. People are starting to like what they're seeing in spring. He's facing lefties. He's, you know, put in the work in the offseason, all these things you want to hear. And I don't think we've ever denied his skill sets, Ryan. It's more just like, what can you do versus left? I guess we've denied his skills versus lefties. We have denied that, yes. But what are your thoughts on this price bump? Because you are a person that has rostered O'Neill Cruz.
I have. I took him in labor mixed pretty late, pretty well past ADP, and it fit what I was trying to do. But I don't think O'Neill Cruz is just like my Matt McClain spiel. I don't think the price should go up based off of spring training for O'Neill Cruz.
Yeah, I feel like you should either have been in on him or not, and this price going right up almost hurts you, is what it feels like to me. Yordan Alvarez, $22 in the listener leagues, up to $24 now. I don't know what is what has changed. It's different people drafting, obviously, but Yordan Alvarez is always either you like the skill set of a guy that's not going to steal bases, and hopefully his knees stay together. But $24 just doesn't do it for me.
I mean, I think for me, this is one rise that I think makes sense because Yordan Alvarez is playing, like he's in the lineup and is playing in the spring. And I think the longer Yordan Alvarez is playing and is not injured in the spring, I think the price is going to go up even more. Honestly, I think health is one of the things that can make a hitters, especially for someone with the health history of Yordan Alvarez. The longer we see him healthy, I think he's going to push mid to high 20s. Honestly, I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying, like, I think that's what's changed is when we were drafting these back in mid late February, we had not seen Yordan Alvarez, and now we've actually seen him in the lineup.
That's fair. And like where he's getting drafted, his ADP is around 43, which is technically like a $27 player. So, it's like a $24-$25 player. So he's kind of in line with his ADP right now. Yeah. He's gone as high as 36, as low as 51 in the four main events. So, like, I'd even be interested if you get closer to the 50 number. I'd be like, okay. You better remember, in NFBC formats, util only, play has outfield eligibility in other formats. Keep that in mind as well when you're drafting Yordan Alvarez.
13 at bats already. So.
That's good. That's good. He's on his way to not passing Chase DeLauder.
I was wondering if you would go there.
You know me well enough by now. Come on. Christian Yelich, $10 up to $12. And honestly, we talked about him a lot. $12 is too cheap for me. If he's an outfielder, he's probably closer to $16-$17, I think. Like $12 is a really good price if you build your roster accordingly.
Yeah, agreed. I don't really understand the rise. I mean, we're not definitely not haters for Christian Yelich. I think this is just kind of random stuff. Maybe it is to a somewhat lesser extent the Yordan Alvarez thing, where like you always worry about you always worry about the back, and it's just good to see Christian Yelich playing.
Same thing for like I'm just going to pair the next two guys. You got Strider 11-13, Wheeler 11-13. They're seeing Strider's pitching. Wheeler's not going to miss as much time supposedly. Now, Strider's pitching doesn't leave me feeling great about life, but it might leave others apparently. But for both cases, when we drafted in February compared to now, you're seeing them actually, you know, we have news in the right direction.
Which one do you think is, which rise do you think is more justified? I know you need to peel away your, I don't want to call it bias, because I know you're off on Strider and you like Wheeler, but they're both up $2. Like, which is more justified? Strider actually pitching in spring training games, albeit with shaky results, or just news reports on Zach Wheeler, but he's not pitching in games, to my knowledge.
I'm still going Wheeler. He's been throwing bullpens, like he's been doing live batting practice. He might get in the game towards the end of spring. Like I'm going with Zach Wheeler. Give me 5 months of Zach Wheeler at that $13, and I'm happy, very happy.
I think I would go Wheeler over Strider as well. I think both rises are justified if you're in on one of these two. I think the fact that all news is good so far is probably worth a $2 increase for these pitchers.
It's just an interesting pocket of pitchers in that price. Like there's a $15 Sheehan, $14 Lodolo, $14 Pepiot, $13 Gossman, $13 Gray, 12 Eovaldi. Like there's a range where they're all just kind of sitting with these guys, and you got Wheeler who's missing probably a month, and you have to pay the price of those guys. So it's interesting 4D chess as you're putting that together. All right.
Here we go.
Yep. You mentioned spring shouldn't affect the price tag like Matt McClain. McClain's at least played professional baseball at the big league level. Connor Griffin, $9 in auctions, was already going $3 more in listener leagues than Matt McClain. Now Connor Griffin's up to $11. What's he have, like four hits, three of them being home runs right now, and highly unlikely to make the big league roster out of camp. We'll see. Anything can happen, just going off of what they're talking about. Connor Griffin's an $11 AAV in the NFBC in March. I appreciate everybody that does it.
I do too. I think the rise is, unlike Matt McClain, I mean, we know who Matt McClain is, right? We know he's like an injured everyday player. Like, that doesn't change with spring. Connor Griffin, like, no, the results should not affect his price, but I think people see those results and think it will translate, and they could be right or wrong. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know what's going on with Pittsburgh right now, but I think they see those, at least the power, like you said, he's only hitting 208 in spring. Connor Griffin is, but I think they see those, the power, they've made some good defensive plays as well. And I think the market's translating that to a better chance to make the opening day roster. And if that is right, then I think that is a proper way to interpret spring training results. Would you agree with that at least?
Yeah, still not a fan, but yeah. I want him to play. Like, he's not playing, so I'm just like, if he's not gonna make the opening day roster. I mean, if he's not gonna make the opening day roster, okay. I don't care. Like, if I knew he's making the opening day roster, the dude's gonna be closer to $20 probably.
Agreed. He'll be in the 20s if he's on the opening day roster.
So it's your risk reward, which is going on here. It's not even just an auction thing. That's an AAV thing. An ADP thing. Cause if you just look at, you know, the main events, Ryan, it's insane. He's ADP's 130. It's gone as high as 110 in drafts right now.
Yep.
Like he's going ahead of Willy Adames, folks, who we know who he is. And I would take every single time over Connor Griffin right now. So
I'm just trying to lay out the case for the people.
No, it's fair. You're doing a great job.
Situation that may warrant a
rise
in price.
I agree.
Totally stripping the name Connor Griffin from the equation.
Honestly, I thought it'd be more than $2. So
same. I actually agree. I thought the rise would be more than $2. There is also like. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I was expecting like $5-6. Okay, I was expecting something crazy because the way his AA or his ADP has changed over like the last 3 weeks is insanity. Yeah. So I was expecting the AAV to go, but I guess the auction world is a little more judicious with their funds.
Yeah. Birch McCollum, of course, good point. Do the same. Which pitchers did Connor Griffin
I did that in Discord recently, and it was
Coleman Crowe's long lost second cousin or something.
Yeah,
agreed. Fair point. Absolutely fair point.
What else?
Your point, I was going to make this last point too. Is one of the reasons why I think there's not much movement. Like these are all $2-3 changes. Keegan says Ranger Suarez was one. That is true. There is just such an anchoring effect. These are all online auctions. There's such an anchoring effect to seeing the player name in the draft room and their AAV right next to it. It's just, you're not going to get like the wild swings that I think we might see when we are drafting live in Vegas and also this coming weekend drafting live in New Jersey with the live auction. You don't have that AAV staring you in the face.
That is very, very true. Last one I have here is Shane O'Mac, similar to Wheeler, similar to Strider.
Yeah.
He's quote-unquote healthy. He's pitching. He's not overwhelming. His velocity is not where you'd hope it would be, but he's gone from $5 to $7. And I'll be honest, a $7 guy, if he pitches 25 starts, is not actually that bad.
Agreed. Like I also think this is one where, obviously – crazy injury concerns over Shane McClanahan. He is pitching and making it through his planned starts. So that I think should warrant a rise in ADP if you are interested in Shane McClanahan. I'm still not paying, I'm not paying the $7 price, but I think that's what this reflects, and it probably should. Injured pitcher who seems to be somewhat healthy right now. I have no idea if Shane McClanahan will make it to May. I hope he does. Honestly, I hope I'm wrong on Shane McClanahan, but just going to let someone else take that shot.
Let sleeping dogs lie on that one. All right, any final thoughts? Like you said, we at the beginning of all this, we were hoping for bigger swings, but it's more just like health and news and other factors for the most part. And I guess a couple big springs has changed a few things.
Yeah, a couple fan favorites as well. So, no, I don't have anything else on it.
All right, let's get the Discord listener questions, which should be a doozy. If you're looking for the tiebreaker scenarios for USA to advance to the knockout rounds.
Why? Is that in the Discord?
I put it in there. I found it on Twitter while we were talking. Oh, God. People were asking questions, okay? if Mexico or if Italy wins, USA advances with Italy. Done deal. So viva or whatever, Italia. Go. I'm going to go get me a pizza tomorrow night. Maybe make some Alfredo. I don't know.
I'm going to do that anyway.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be doing an auction, so let's get it on. Pizza sounds good, actually. All right, if Mexico wins, Mexico and the USA advance if Mexico scores at least 5 runs. If Mexico wins and scores 4 runs or less, Mexico and Italy advance. I can't wait to see a 4-3 Mexico win just to tilt all the – because I saw some people tweeting some funny stuff that's like, if you are Mexico, you and Italy should like make a deal behind the scenes right now to just keep the USA out.
Close game.
And a 4-3 finish would just be the chef's kiss on that one if it were to take place. So those are your scenarios, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks for breaking that down for 90% of the listeners who will listen to this podcast after the game is played. But you know, we're here for the info.
I live in the moment.
you do.
All right. Some listener questions. Canton Dog says, of the ones that the Bubba the Boom listeners overpaid and the ones that NFBC overpaid, which one surprised you in each category? So which one was the biggest surprise in the green and the red columns?
The biggest surprise that Bubba and the Bloomers paid the most for, I would say, is Luis Castillo. I feel like I'm on an island with my, I don't even want to say love for Luis Castillo. I can tolerate Luis Castillo. I'm surprised he rose in our listener leagues.
Yeah, I go with Castillo on that. On the right side, the ones that the surprised, I guess, the NFBC is higher on. Well, I'm just surprised that the Jack Caglione. I figured the listeners would be higher based on your constant praise for him.
They listen to you, not me. We all know that.
Oh, that's very much not true. They listen to me to razz you, but when it comes to actually doing things, that is not true. Timothy says, there are no catchers listed. Do you believe there's a less variance in ADP amongst catchers in either the listener leagues or the NFBC? That's a great question. I think this is just top of my head. You might know more because you actually look at numbers. It just feels like that market is so priced up already that it feels like they were both going, it was just going to be high across the board. Like relievers, you know, as we only had Griffin Jacks, there's a bunch of relievers going for crazy prices, and the catchers, like, it feels like everyone was just priced up.
Yeah, I don't have a good explanation for why. That's a really good observation, actually. I you would think at least a couple catchers would be on the riser list from our leagues. There were last year, I know that.
100% last year, yeah.
Yeah, not a single one on either list.
Good catch, Timothy. And then SMK Teach says he's adding on to Canton's question earlier about the overpays on both sides. Are there spots where the listener league and NFBC overpaid, or would you consider it to be potentially that the other side got a bargain price? Are there any spots, like, I think we agreed that Christian Yelich we think is still too cheap.
Yes, agreed. I think there are some cases where I don't think the change went far enough. And I think Christian Yelich is one. I think Sonny Gray is also one where I think even though listener leaguers quote unquote overpaid for Sonny Gray, $14 on average in our leagues, $12 in March, I feel like we could have gone even more on that one too.
Sean Shard makes an astute observation here. He says, when will the NFBC just use the Bubba and the Bloom AAV in the draft room as their standard? Because clearly the data from our leagues is superior.
Of course.
Yeah, it's just the price points, what I was told yesterday on Twitter. So probably won't happen. Adam says, in general,
did we request it though? Or?
If only in February or in June. Adam says, in general, it appears the NFBC side pays more for players on contending or at least improving team context. Bubba and Bloom more scattered individuals. Should we more heavily weigh team context? Good question. Not sure that's where it all went on purpose, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure if that's just that could just be this subset of players, not an actual trend. And I mean, also as part of quote unquote team context, I think you do take into the take into account, you know, how these guys are looking in spring. And that is something that the rest of the NFBC, the March drafters, that advantage they have over us, right, is they can see some of these early returns, and that's causing a bunch of these guys, especially on the pitching side, to rise.
And I'll just say, using when I update my cheat sheet, whatever, it's not really, it's just my sheet for my auctions that I updated, I use the ADP tracker, and it's going from March 10th. So, or it's like the, I'll ask you. So I'm in the ADP tracker. It says March 10th was the last updated. So it's the last 20 auctions, but there's like, we don't have like a last seven or anything like that. So right. I guess it's just whatever the last 20 is. Yeah. I still think that's probably less than, or maybe more so than the March, because March 10th is probably more. My ADP AAV I'm using, I guess, is going farther back is my point. So
I have no idea what you just said. I just totally zero idea how to interpret the words.
Moving on. Kevin A says, how did AAV compare to your calculated values that you brought to the auction? I don't bring calculated values to the auction. Other people do. I know this. Ryan probably does, actually.
And it's something I struggle with because my calculated values at the top of the player pool were nowhere near as high as the average auction values for the NFBC. So a lot of my, I didn't have very many. I think I had three $40 guys by my values. And in the NFBC, I think there are seven or eight players that go for $40 or more, something like that. So that was a struggle, a challenge for me to kind of like, yeah, I want my values to somewhat mimic at the macro level, what the market's doing, but I don't want to force it. And if, you know, that kind of played into my hand for my auction, is I wanted to hit the middle really hard because I adjusted my values to the market, and it's still at the high end, just for me, was not worth it. And unfortunately, my auction was the cheapest auction in the history of mankind, so that didn't play into my favor. But in general, that was the biggest thing, where my dollar values at the top end were not as high as the marketplace, and had to adjust for that.
I remember when we had we did the Patreon episode with Rob D. He was mentioning if you go down, like you change your pool size like 12 teams or
whatever. Yeah, and he said 13. I did that, and it was closer. It was a lot closer.
It was closer. Yeah, because I did that with I used the Baseball HQ kind of cheat sheet they put together, and I think I changed it to like 12 or 13, and it put it in the ballpark. Like you said,
which is what you want. You don't want, I mean, what you don't want is like your projected values for each player to equal the market. I mean, that's boring, but it's good to be in the same ballpark for like certain tiers of players.
Yes. No, and I should do it, because that's the one thing, like when I live stream with Ted, Ted's got his values, and he always tells me after the fact, because he's a fair player, you should have gone higher. I have this guy like valued $6 or whatever. He had like a couple players that were way above AAV. And, He goes off of those prices, which a lot of successful players do. Bubba Shakur says, how do Bubba and the Bloom darlings compare to Bubba and the Bloom fades? Where are Bubba and the Bloom moving markets, more NFBC or listener leagues?
I don't think we're moving markets here.
We are not moving markets. We are not moving markets. I'll keep all the rest of the jokes to myself there. We are not moving markets. TDK says, why do we like Daylen Lyle?
Was that his old question? What are we doing?
Yeah. Like, how do Bubba and the Bloom darlings compare to Bubba and the Bloom fades? Where are Bubba and the Bloom moving markets, more NFBC or listener leagues? Mm-hmm. It's a moving markets, and then how did the darlings and fades compare? And we kind of looked over some of those. Yeah, I don't have the rest of them in front of me. So, yes.
You're good.
Why do we like Daylon Lisle? It's not like it's not that the NFPC hates him, but what are we paying up for 2020 upside? That's with the high, you're hoping for the high batting average.
And Colin T Cat chimes in with good average too. It's what you're hoping for with Daylon Lisle. But I do feel, I don't know, feel like he's kind of fully priced. And I think there was a floor there that's like, given kind of his lack of pedigree.
Yep. It's definitely a lack of pedigree, but I guess there's optimism, and optimism is always good to see. That wraps us up, Ryan. Any final thoughts as we head into our final few episodes before we head to Vegas? I got a draft Wednesday. You got a draft Friday. It's crunch time.
It's crunch time. I got to plug my mouse in, charge it. It's very low battery, so good timing on that one. Next two shows will be roadmap episodes. So we're going to wrap up. Thursday will be hitter roadmaps. The following Tuesday will be pitcher roadmaps. So kind of the final cram session, I guess, for those of you drafting in these last couple of weeks. So it's the tentative plan for now. And I guess it's not even tentative. The plan.
No, it is the plan. There'll be no show next Thursday because you'll get a live Vegas show Saturday evening-ish is when it came out last time. I make no of complete promises because Vegas, baby. Vegas. But that's the plan.
I think, we posted it. You posted it.
You were bringing me cocktails while I was splicing things together. You were
splicing out some shaky audio, and I just, you looked like you were struggling in Audacity. So I remember, I went up to the sports book and brought down a couple cocktails for us.
Really got the things flowing, so we were good.
And then it worked. You rejuvenated you cocktails. And you posted the show.
Needed cocktails before breakfast dinner, so that is a requirement. We'll have all we'll keep you guys covered all the way through as we always do. So thanks for listening, everybody. Make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Entrick, and this was Bubba the Bloom, episode 327. Catch y'all next time.